This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you to another in our series, The Best in Islam. In this series, we're looking at the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from His Messenger, Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, pointing out and guiding us to what is best from the perspective of Islam in our affairs. We have looked at, in the previous episode, issues concerning journey and jihad, all pointing out that either we choose the best places to journey to, Mecca and Medina, or that we recognize that the basis for jihad is the struggle within ourselves, and not merely raising or carrying of arms on the battlefield. Moving on now in this session to the best of our leaders. Who are they? Auf ibn Malik, he narrated that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, خِيَارُ أَئِمَّتِكُمْ الَّذِينَ تُحِبُّونَهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَكُمْ وَتُصَلُّونَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَيُصَلُّونَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَشِرَارُ أَئِمَّتِكُمْ الَّذِينَ تُبْغِضُونَهُمْ وَيُبْغِضُونَكُمْ وَتَلْعَنُونَهُمْ وَيَلْعَنُونَكُمْ The best of your leaders are those who you love and they love you. You pray for them and they pray for you. And the worst of your leaders are those who you hate and they hate you. You curse them and they curse you. This gives us some guidelines with regards to how Muslim leadership should be. It should be a leadership in which the people love those leaders. They are not cursing them. They're not speaking ill of them. And of course, as they say, you can't please all the people all the time. But in general, the leaders should be doing what the people want done, what is beneficial for the people. So they will speak well of them. These are among the signs of a good leader, that people will speak well, love them, and praise them. As well as they also will love those who follow them, those who they are ruling over. And they will make dua for them. And the people will make dua for their rulers. This is the blessed leadership that the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, was guiding us to in this hadith about the best of leaders. So it means, in choosing our leaders, we should choose those we can see in them the love for the people. They express that love in a variety of different ways, whether it is in promoting certain policies, etc., by which the government benefits the people. Because really, in most countries, there is sufficient there to benefit the people. But most of the time, due to mismanagement and corruption, etc., then the leaders don't look out for the people, they really don't love the people. They love the opportunity to be leaders so that they can milk the people. This is unfortunately the situation for many, many decades now in the Muslim world, that our leadership is not one of love, one where the leaders love the people, and as a result, the people don't love them. They may fool the people, fool many of the people by bribing and a variety of other ways, but the mass of the people will not be bribed. They will know those leaders for who they are, and they will hate them. They will curse them. They will pray against them. They will speak against them. And that's an evil state. This is not the way that a Muslim country should be. The guidance of the Prophet Muhammad, this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim, among the most authentic sayings of the Prophet. This is something that we should strive for, and we should choose our leaders well. Moving on, under the heading of L, we have reached the L, livelihood, Zayd ibn Jubair quoted the Prophet as saying, خَيْرُ الرِّزْقِ الْكَفَافِ. The best livelihood is the bare minimum. The best livelihood is the bare minimum. What is meant by that? What is meant by that statement is that what is really best for us is that we earn what is necessary. Not that we seek to accumulate treasure for times which may never come. We just chase after more, as the Prophet Muhammad had said, if one of Adam's descendants were given a valley of gold, they would want another one. Never satisfied. The grass is always greener on the other side. That's how we are, never satisfied with whatever we have. But this is not a good state to live in, where you're always wanting what others have. In the West, they call it keeping up with the Joneses. Your neighbor buys a new car, now your car is looking kind of old. Before it was fine, but now that your neighbor got a new car, you feel you must have one. Your family makes noise about it, you end up going and buying a new car. When he sees you buy a new car, then he wants to buy a new car. And this is not the way to live. You got a car which does the job, then that's sufficient. You don't have to have the latest model. You know, this is how they have us going, the iPhone, for example. If you don't have the latest model of the iPhone, then, you know, iPhone 4 now, iPhone 6, 6 Plus, and they keep us in this cycle of constantly wanting more. Buy the latest, get the newest, have the latest. This is not the way to live. We will not find peace. We will not find comfort. We will not find contentment in all of this. But if we just go for what is sufficient, we get, we buy, we take what is sufficient, what is enough to get by, and we're satisfied with it, contented with it, then we can be contented with ourselves, we can be contented with life. So this is what the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, was recommending, that the best livelihood is the bare minimum, what takes care of what you need. As he said, we should be like travelers. In this world, we should be like travelers. As a traveler, you have a suitcase which carries what's enough to change your clothes, wear what you need, wherever you go. But you don't try and carry your whole house with you, your wardrobe, your kitchen sink, and no. So you're a traveler. So that's how we should look at this life. We're only passing through. So there's no need to accumulate large amounts of wealth and judge people and judge ourselves and judge our families by how much wealth we've accumulated. Because strive, that effort, that focus on trying to accumulate, all it does is blocks us to the realities of this life, of what we should really be striving for. And that's why Allah said in the Quran, أَلْحَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. This striving to accumulate wealth has deluded you from the realities of life. And you only wake up to it when you end up in the grave. That's when you finally wake up. We're living in a dream, running around chasing the elusive dunya, which we can never get enough of. Leave that aside. Work, Make efforts, not to say you don't do that. Doesn't mean that you have to live in a hut. You know, you're able to work and get enough to provide for yourself and your family, etc. Then fine. Don't feel you got to get ahead in the job. If you don't make it to become the director, you know, the manager, you know, your life, you're not satisfied. You're always eyeing the manager. I should be there. You'll never be happy. You'll never be at peace. Because how many people make it to the manager? Yeah, all the people would like to be managers, but only one's going to be the manager. So, is it worth it? All that botheration, all the depression that comes out of not achieving what you set for yourself, which may be unrealistic, never satisfied. So, this is the advice of the Prophet. May God's peace and blessing be upon him. And that's how he lived. When he died, what did he leave behind? There was nothing. He left nothing. Everything was given away, distributed. He died leaving nothing behind. And that is a much simpler, peaceful way to go. The Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, also spoke under the letter M, marriage. He spoke about the best marriage. Uqba ibn Amir, he stated that the Prophet ﷺ had said, خَيْرُ النِّكَاحِ أَيْسَرُ. The best marriage is the simplest one. In another narration, we had heard the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ have said that the best woman was the one with the simplest mahar. This is connected to the marriage. So the simplicity of the marriage has to do with the mahar. It also has to do with the amount of money which is spent on the mahar, on the marriage itself. You know, today when people are getting married, it's a massive affair. So much money is spent. And a lot of this money is just wasted. For women, they have what is now known as a wedding dress. And you listen to the young women getting married today wanting that wedding dress. That wedding dress they're ready to spend thousands of dollars for, thousands and thousands of dollars for a dress that they will wear once. And they'll never wear it again. What is that but israf, but extravagance, something displeasing to Allah? In Islam, we don't have wedding dresses. If you want to say a walima dress, okay, you have a walima, you know, where you have a meal, share it with the people. Again, this is the sharing of the food, you know, with the community. They know you got married. You want to wear a new dress, no harm. A dress that you will wear at other times too, no harm. But this wedding dress, which has nothing to do with Islam, which came out of Christianity, in their weddings, they have this wedding dress. Now, it has become an addiction amongst Muslims. Young people are clamoring for this now. So the expense for marriage now becomes massive. The wedding dress, then the walima is not just a gathering, a simple gathering. It now has to be an elaborate affair. It will be in a 5-star hotel. And all the kinds of money that is spent, again, huge amounts of money spent. This is not pleasing to Allah. This is not pleasing to Allah. So the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, advised us in this manner that we should be simple in our marriages, making it easy, making it possible, so that we don't have numbers of people who are unmarried simply because marriages have become so complicated and expensive, it prohibits most people from getting married at the time they should be married. With that, dear viewers, we're going to take a break. And I hope to see you following the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. La ilaha Welcome back from the break. Assalamu alaikum. Moving on to another area of the best. In terms of men, the Prophet Muhammad was quoted as saying by Aisha, his wife, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. The best of you are those who are best to his family, and I am the best among you to my family. And in another narration from Amr ibn al-As, he quoted the Prophet Muhammad as saying, خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. The best of you are those who are best to their women. So in both these narrations, they're carrying basically the same concept that what makes a person good is about the character, how they treat others, how they interact with others. And then where do we start with that good interaction? It has to start with the family, those who are closest, your wife and your children. So for a man to be among the best in the society, he should be best to his wife and his children. And especially in this narration, these narrations is talking about the wives, how best we treat our wives. And of course, we know that, as they say, familiarity breeds contempt, that a husband, you know, because his wife is there all the time, he kind of takes her for granted. He doesn't treat her in the best of ways. So this is something that we have to overcome and be conscious of our responsibility to treat our wives in the best ways possible. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ went on to say that he was best, meaning his example, the example that he showed in terms of how he treated his wives, it was the best example. It's one in which he never hit them. You know, this idea of hitting wives, now this has become very widespread. Husbands beating their wives. Of course, in Islam, there is a permit, but as a last resort, and not hitting from the perspective of beating your wives. It is more that of patting her, telling her, you know, it's an expression, extension from self, patting her, telling her, listen, stop, you have to rethink about this, so and so. This is the manner. It should not cause any bruising, etc. That means that you're not striking blows. This is not what Islam permits, as now has become popular. You know, a man, his wife spills the tea, next thing he's hitting her, kicking her. I mean, you find this in Muslim families. And of course, this is not acceptable Islamically. So Prophet Muhammad, his way in terms of dealing with his wives was the best way. You see that there was no hitting. He was very kind. He was gentle. You know, he tolerated their mistakes. He tolerated their ill behavior sometimes. You know, he was very kind and gentle with them. Moving on to the mosques and what's good. Ibn Umar narrated that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said, خَيْرُ الْبِقَاعِ الْمَسَاجِدِ وَشَرُّ الْبِقَاعِ الْأَسْوَاقِ. The best locations are the mosques, and the worst locations are the marketplaces. Meaning that if we're going to spend time in locations, then better we spend it in the mosque than in the marketplace. Grab surplus time. Now we don't spend most of our lives, that's what happens today, you know, families, going out means going to the mall. That's into the marketplace. So much time is spent, consumed in the marketplace. And this is amongst the worst of places. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ taught us du'as to protect us against the evil of the marketplace, because there's so much going on, which is displeasing to Allah in marketplaces. So we should, in fact, strive to spend more time in the mosque. And of course, that means reviving the function of the mosque, because now the mosque is just a place where people just go and pray and then leave. They don't spend time in the mosque. Or maybe they may sit back to read the Quran for a bit or whatever. But the mosque doesn't have the character that it had in earlier times, where there are circles of learning ongoing. You know, there's books available. There are discussions taking place. You know, after the prayers, the mosque is basically dead. The prayer is over, everybody leaves. But the Prophet Muhammad had said that among the people who would be shaded by Allah's throne on the day when there would be no shade other than His throne was Rajulun Qalbuhu Mu'allakun Bil Masajid. An individual whose heart is attached to the mosque. So, of course, now it's a big struggle for one to spend that kind of time in the mosque. But we need to revive the role of the mosque in terms of educating the community, in terms of social interaction. You know, we need to bring the mosques back to life so that it becomes really a blessed place that people would want to be, want to spend time. This is really what the advice of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is in this statement. It's not that we should not go to the marketplaces. We have to go there, we have to purchase things. But that should not become the focus of our lives. Better we make the focus the masjid, because that's where we pray, that's where we communicate with God on a formal basis, and that's where we can learn the deen, we can interact with people for the sake of Allah. We're not there trying to get products from them or sell them products or whatever. We're there to worship Allah, to spend time remembering Allah, and those who we meet there should be those who also remind us of Allah. So, this is the advice of the Prophet. May God's peace and blessing be upon him with regards to the mosques. And a final hadith, which supports the same concept, one narrated by Abu Huraira, in which he said, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا وَأَبْغَدُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. The regions which Allah loves most are its mosques. And the regions which Allah hates most are its markets. The same concept. Allah, of course, we should love the places that Allah loves. We should dislike the places which Allah dislikes. So this is further guidance and encouragement for us to spend more time in the mosques. With that, dear viewers, we'd like to thank you for being with us in this episode from The Best in Islam. We hope to see you in our coming episodes. And with that, we're going to bid you farewell and hope to see you in our coming episodes of The Best in Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.